Well, amen. Y'all are so kind. I tell you, I feel like I'm back in the South with the singing and the woo at the end. Woo-hoo. I like that. That's good. I told your pastor that, you know, it's just such a pleasure to be here. Just such a sweet spirit. Amen. And your greeting time, I think, with each other is the longest I've ever had in a church in 20 years. I think it's awesome. I mean, to be that friendly. You know, you go in some churches and they're not very friendly. But your church is very, very friendly, and that's just a wonderful testimony, I think, for your church. And you have a wonderful pastor and his wife. Amen? Amen. And you're very, very blessed. And they're just such a blessing. And we got to partake of Sister Vicky's food today. I don't know if many of y'all got to do that, but it was awesome. Very, very good. And it's just been a great time to be here today. And y'all been so kind to us. So we appreciate that so very much. I want you to turn your Bible tonight to one verse in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. And I want to draw your attention to one verse tonight. Again, that I think is a very, very important subject. And we're going to shift gears a little bit tonight more toward parent and child relationships. But certainly, I believe this is a vital message tonight for the state of the family in our country today. So I want you to look with me tonight, and I want to share with you for a few minutes tonight from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. The Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Honor thy father and thy mother. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, the name above all names, and Father, we are so thankful to be here tonight in this place, Lord, to sing praises unto you. You are worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. Father, we pray tonight and ask you, Father, to touch our hearts and help us, Lord, tonight to be more like Christ. Father, I pray for those here tonight, Lord, that they might be spoken to through the Word of God and those who may need to get something right in a relationship with someone else. Father, I pray, God, tonight that you'd help us to have tender hearts. Father, that we would be clothed in humility tonight. Father, we know we desperately need you. And nothing of any eternal value consequence will happen here tonight without you. So, Father, we dedicate this time to you, and we want to thank you, God, tonight for all that you're going to do. But we pray, we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people together said, amen. Perhaps one of the great preachers of yesteryears, a man by the name of Dwight L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a great man of God, a great preacher of the Word of God, and a great teacher also. And I'm sure he had counseled probably hundreds and thousands of families during his time in the ministry. I was reading about his life several years ago, and I read a statement that kind of jumped off the page to me when I read it, and it went like this. He said, "I've lived 60 years, and I've learned one important thing in life, that no man who dishonors his father and mother will ever prosper in life." Here's D.L. Moody, a great man of God, a great preacher of the Word of God. Again, it counseled, I'm sure, thousands of families. And he said, "I've learned one very, very important thing in life, that no man, no woman, no young person who dishonors their mother and father will ever prosper in life." And friends, I found the same to be true in my experience also. That is, you show me a man, show me a woman or a child who dishonors their parents, and I'll show you someone who has poverty of peace, poverty of joy, and many times even poverty of possessions. But you show me someone that obeys this command, and even though they might not be a success as a worldview success, they'll have a joy and a peace in their heart that you'll never have without obeying this command to give honor to your father and to your mother. We're looking at Exodus chapter 20. We're looking at verse 12. And Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 is a transitional verse. What I mean by that is the first commands that God gives has to do with the vertical relationship of man to God. And then we come down to this command of giving honor to your father and mother, and he starts dealing with the horizontal relationships of man to man. I don't believe it's any accident that God put this as the very first command. You see, God wants us to understand something, that we'll learn to give no greater honor to a holy God than we learn to give to our own father and we give to our own mother. Certainly, this is foundational in our relationship with God, our relationship with each other. I remember quite a few years ago, I was doing a marriage conference down near Chattanooga, Tennessee, at a little place called the Cahutta Lodge. I was getting there a couple of hours early. We were driving up the road, and I noticed something on the right that I hope my wife didn't notice. You say, "What is that, preacher?" It was a little craft village. I try not to notice those kind of places. But I knew that she would notice it, and she did. When we got there, we were several hours early, as I said, and She looked over at me and she said, "Sam, how about if we go down and look in the crafts village?" I thought a little retail therapy wouldn't hurt her. Amen. I got back and I thought she must have been in intensive care. But I'll never forget. Listen, I drove down in front of that little craft store, and I drove in front of the store, got out of my car, and this lady came out the front door. I mean, she was the most outgoing lady I think I've ever met. She started asking us, "Who are you? Where are you from? What's your name?" I mean, this was a nosy woman. She came down off her front porch, and she walked around my car. She got down to the back of my car, and she stopped, and she said, "Preacher, if you'll notice, I collect license plates." I looked up there, and there were license plates from all these different states across the front of her little store. And she looked straight at me, and she said, "Preacher, I don't have a North Carolina license plate." I thought, "You're not going to get a North Carolina license plate." I thought maybe she had a screwdriver in her back pocket, was going to try to take it, you know, or something like that. But she changed her attention straight from me and looked straight over at my wife and asked her this question. She said, "Does he practice what he preaches?" I thought, "My soul, let's just get out of here. I think I've had enough." But you know, I was reminded of something that day, that people don't care so much about who you say you are as who you are. And there's so many people who claim the name of Christ, and they really look nothing like Christ. And folks, let me say something here tonight, and I want you to hear what I'm going to say here tonight. The hardest place to live out your Christianity is in your home. You see, you can't fake it in your home. You can come to this church, you can put a big smile on, a big pretense on, and fake us out. But you can't fake it in your home. Listen. Listen, wives, your husband knows how much you love the Lord. Guys, your wife knows your passion for Jesus Christ, whether you really love God the way you say that you do when you're here in church. Mom and Dad, you might think that you can fake your kids out, but you can't. They know how much you love God. The hardest place to live out your Christianity is in your home. And folks, it starts right here, I believe, with giving honor to your father and to your mother. You say, "Well, preacher, what does this word honor mean anyway?" The word honor means to esteem someone in a high position in your life, to count them as a priceless treasure unto yourself. It's as though I had the money and I could go to a Thomas Kincaid art gallery and I could purchase one of these beautiful Thomas Kincaid paintings for $4,000, $5,000, $10,000. If I had that kind of money and I could purchase that painting, I wouldn't purchase it and bring it home and put it in the back room. I wouldn't put it in the bathroom. I put it in the living room so everyone could see that painting because it has great value to me. I esteem it as a priceless treasure to myself. In the same way, that's what God is saying here, we're to give honor to our father and we're to give honor to our mother. And some of you here tonight are saying, "Well, preacher, I'm glad you're preaching this. The kids really need to hear this. Teenagers really need to hear this." But friends, listen to me tonight. Don't tune me out. I found in my experience in counseling families for over 20 years that some of the people that need to hear this the most are not the kids. It's grown moms and dads and husbands and wives. And I've seen so many problems in so many marriages and so many families with a husband or a wife who's been dishonoring to their father and mother, who's bitter against a father and mother, and how it affects their marriage and how it affects their children, even giving honor back to them. So if you're here tonight and you say, "Well, preacher, I think this is for the kids. It's for all of us. This is the word of God. It applies to every one of us." Amen. The Bible doesn't say give honor to your parents until you're 16. The Bible says to honor your parents. I believe that's until you die. Amen. So it applies to every one of us here tonight. I began to think on this and I thought, "Well, God, how do we do that? How do we really give honor to our father and mother? How do we count them as a priceless treasure unto ourselves?" And as I began to pray, God showed me and shared with me three ways I want to share with you tonight that I believe that we give honor to our parents. And I want to just share my heart with you here tonight about this. I think this is such an important message tonight. I believe the first way that we give honor to our parents is by the life that we live. By the life that we live. You see, you're either living a life that's honoring and pleasing to God, or you're living a life that's dishonoring and displeasing to God. And if you're living a life that's honoring and pleasing to God, then you're living a life that's honoring and pleasing to your father and mother. But if you're living a life that's dishonoring and displeasing to God, you're living a life that's dishonoring and displeasing to your parents. I have four sons. My oldest is Joshua. My second is Daniel, Adam, and then Philip. And if they were sitting on this front pew here tonight, and they would look up to me and say, "Dad, what's the greatest way I can give honor to you?" I would say, "Josh, Daniel, Adam, Philip, the greatest way you can honor your father, the greatest way you can honor your mother is by living a life that's honoring and pleasing to God." And if you live a life that's honoring and pleasing to God, then you're living a life that's honoring and pleasing to your father and to your mother. I would ask you tonight, what kind of life are you living? Are you living a life of secret sin? Is there sin in your life that the Holy Spirit of God is putting His finger on tonight that you think that no one will ever find out? Well, friend, listen to me tonight. God sees all and God knows all. And your sin will find you out. What kind of life are you living tonight? Let me shock some of you maybe into reality here tonight, because I believe we live in a day and time where it seems like that we tend to categorize sin. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, if I had a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the worst sin, then we would, if I would have mentioned certain sins here tonight, we would tend to put those sins in different numbers on that scale. For instance, if I were to mention abortion, you say, preacher, that's a horrible sin. That's a tragedy in America. And I would agree with you. Amen. Millions of unborn babies killed and murdered. And you say, preacher, where would you put that sin? And you would say, well, preacher, it ought to be over here to 10. That's a horrible sin. If I were to mention the sin of homosexuality, you say, preacher, that's an abomination to God. That's a horrible sin. You say, preacher, you ought to put that over here to 9 or 10 too. That's a horrible sin too. Now let me stop and say this. We ought to hate the sin, but we ought to love the sinner. Amen. We ought to try to win them to Jesus Christ. If I were to put this sin, I mention this sin of dishonoring your father and mother, you say, well, preacher, that's not as bad as these other sins. Well, friends, I want to tell you tonight, in God's eyes, it's just as bad. Turn with me, if you would, for just a moment, Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Romans chapter 1, look with me, if you would, for verse 28. I'll give you a moment to turn there. I want you to read these verses with me tonight. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Bible says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Look at the next three words here. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Look at verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of what, church? They're worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. God help us, because we live in a day and time in America where people not only do the same, but take pleasure in other people doing all these sins. You say, I want you to notice where they put this sin of dishonoring your parents. You say, preacher, it doesn't say dishonoring. It says disobedient to parents. Disobedience is a natural outworking of a heart that's dishonoring. So it's one and the same. And he puts it right in the heart of all these other abominations to a holy God. And friends, let me say here tonight, God hadn't changed his mind. God feels the same way about it tonight as he did when he penned this several thousand years ago. I want you to notice with me also, turn with me if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice that disobedience, dishonoring your parents, is indicative of perilous times in a society before the return of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look with me at verse 1. This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boastful, proud, blasphemers. Here it is. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such do what, church? Turn away from them. I believe one of the prevalent sins in the last days is the sin of dishonoring your parents. And friends, I believe we live in that day. Turn with me, if you would, to one other place, and that is in Ephesians chapter 6. Look with me, if you would, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. As you look there with me, I want you to notice what the Bible says here in regard to giving honor to your parents. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. I believe, just like they have, on the side of a pack of cigarettes, it says, warning, smoking these cigarettes is hazardous to your health. I believe every home ought to have a sign in it somewhere that says, warning, dishonoring, disobeying your parents is hazardous to your health. I believe every school, every public school ought to have a sign in it somewhere that says, warning, dishonoring, disobeying your parents is hazardous to your health. Is that not what the Word of God says? The Bible says it's a twofold blessing to that child who obeys and honors their parents. But the Bible has much to say about the judgment and the curse of God upon that child who does not. And friends, I want to say here tonight again, God has not changed His mind. Now, you may be here tonight, you listen to this, and you say, well, preacher, that sounds good to give honor to your parents, to esteem them in a countless high position in your life, to count them as a priceless treasure to yourself, but you don't understand the parents that I had. Preacher, if you grew up in the home that I grew up in, if your parents treated you the way that my parents treated me, you wouldn't be standing up here talking about giving honor to your parents. Friends, I want to share something with you tonight. Continuing to nail them to the cross is going to hurt you more than it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt you physically. It'll hurt you emotionally. And it'll hurt you spiritually. And I believe it's a sin if you don't get it right, you even can pass it to your children and affect you and your children giving honor even back to you. See, this thing of honor is kind of like a two-sided coin. On one side is the word honor. On the flip side is the word respect. And the word respect means to look back on. And certainly every mom and dad, every grandmother and grandfather in this building tonight, you ought to be living the kind of godly life that your children can easily give respect. They can easily look back on and give honor to you. But again, you may be here tonight and you say, well, preacher, if I look back, if I give respect to my parents and look back, preacher, it hurts. Say, preacher, you don't understand. It hurts so bad what they did to me. And you've got a choice to make. And I want you to listen to me tonight. You've got a very, very important choice to make, but I want to remind you here tonight that the highest form of love is to give honor to somebody who doesn't deserve it. The highest form of love is to give honor to someone who doesn't deserve it. You see, God paved the way, amen? Listen, we didn't deserve forgiveness of our sins. We deserve hell, amen? But God loved you and God loved me so much. Friends, He loved us so much He sent His precious Son to die on a cruel cross and shed His blood for our sins. The highest form of love, friends, is to give honor to someone who doesn't deserve it. And the Bible says in 1 John, if you say that you love God and you hate your brother, that you're a liar. Friends, don't get mad with me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If you say that you have the love of God in you and you hate your mom and dad, you hate your brother and sister, then you don't know my love, because my love is a forgiving love. My love is a love filled full of forgiveness and mercy and grace. If you really know my love, then you're willing to forgive your mom and daddy. You're willing to forgive your son or daughter. You're willing to forgive your brother and sister in Christ. My love is a forgiving love. I remember many, many years ago, I was in Moorhead City, North Carolina, preaching a revival meeting. I'll never forget, on a Tuesday night, I was preaching on forgiveness. There was a lady sitting on this side of the church on the end pew. As I was preaching, she began to cry. I knew that God was working in her life in some way. I wasn't sure how, but at the invitation time, she came to the altar. She knelt down. She prayed. And she left very quickly. Didn't get a chance to talk to her. The next night, I was standing in the foyer of the church. She came into the foyer of the church, and she said, preacher, can I talk to you a minute? I said, yes, you can. And she pulled me aside and began to share with me what had happened the night before. She said, preacher, I grew up in a home where my dad sexually abused me. Preacher, I grew up in a home where my mom and dad took drugs. I grew up in a home where my mother ran off and left me with my abusive dad when I was 3 or 4 years old. She said, preacher, my dad lives across town and I've hated my father all my life. She said, I haven't talked to my dad in over 20 years. She said, but preacher, last night God broke my heart. She said, preacher, last night God told me I needed to call my daddy. And she said, I went home and I picked up the phone to call my daddy. I didn't know what he was going to say. I didn't know how he was going to respond, but I knew I needed to call my father. She said, preacher, I picked up the phone. I called my daddy. And when he answered the phone, I just said, daddy, I'm so sorry for how I've treated you all these years. Daddy, could you ever forgive me? She said, preacher, my daddy began to cry on the other end of the phone. He said, oh, honey, how could you ever forgive me for all those horrible things I did to you? She said, preacher, today I had lunch with my daddy and I told him how I could forgive him. I told him about Jesus. She said, preacher, after lunch, she said, I put my arms around my daddy's neck and gave him a hug. And he put his arms around my neck and gave me a hug. She said, preacher, it was like 1,000 pounds fell off my back. When she told me that story, I was reminded of the verse in Proverbs that says, before honor is humility. Friends, we'll never see revival until we humble ourselves. We'll never see revival until we get our relationships right in our families, as husband and wife, parent to child, in our family, in the church, brother and sister to Christ. Friends, before honor is humility. I believe the first way that we honor our parents is by the life that we live. Are you living a life of bitterness? Are you living a life of unforgiveness? Is there secret sin in your life? God wants you to get that right tonight. He wants you to repent of that sin. He wants you to confess it, repent of it, and turn from it and be free of it here tonight. The first way we honor our parents is by the life that we live. But I believe we also honor our parents not only by the life we live, but by the loads that we lift. By the loads that we lift. Now let me talk to some of you young people here tonight for just a minute. Some of you, if I went into your room, looked like a city dump lookalike contest. And the problem is some of you'd win, amen? I mean, some of them you wouldn't pick up your clothes until they invented a vacuum cleaner that would suck them up. And you wouldn't do it then until you could ride it. You know what I'm talking about. Listen, mom and dad work hard. They work hard all week long to provide the very best they possibly can for you. They're doing the best they can. And one of the ways that you can practically give honor to them is lighten the load around the house. What I'm saying is make up your bed, vacuum the carpet, wash the dishes, wash the car, cut the grass. Amen, mom and dad? Y'all want to add some to that list tonight? Listen, they don't have to beg you to do it either. You ought to do it because you love them. Because you want to give honor to them, because they're so precious to you. They shouldn't have to beg you to do it. Oh, you ought to be load lifters for your parents when you're young. Friends, I believe we ought to be load lifters for our parents when they're old, too. You know, when we start really fighting on this front here against Satan and the attacks of Satan, whether it's abortion or homosexuality or something else, Satan comes around through the back door, something new. And I believe that Satan's coming around through the back door, something new in America today. It's really not new, but it may be new to you. It's called euthanasia. You say, preacher, what do you mean by euthanasia? Euthanasia is a society that gets to the point where they no longer feel that their precious elderly parents have any value, that they're expendable. You say, preacher, that would never happen in America. I never thought that we'd kill 40 million babies in America either, did you? All you've got to do is wake up, read the papers, look in the news. The agenda is there. You say, preacher, you don't understand. I want to lighten the load for my elderly parents. When I go to the house, my mom and dad, they're in their 80s. My mom, I have to change her diaper for them. Preacher, that just kind of grosses me out. You don't understand. A preacher, when I talk to my dad and I talk to my mom, they just kind of slobber down their face. I have to take a rag and have to wipe that off her face. And that just kind of grosses me out, preacher. You don't understand. Preacher, when I get around my elderly mom and dad, they just kind of babble on and on. They say the same things over and over again. Preacher, it's hard. You just don't understand. I think I do understand. When you were a little baby, they wiped your messy bottom. Amen. Hey, when you were just a little boy, a girl, and you made a mess all of you, they wiped it off of you. I know how it is to have somebody babble on and on and on, say the same things over and over and over. I've got four sons. Amen. But I still love them. I believe one of the greatest ways we can give honor to our parents is these precious elderly parents is to lighten the load and make it as easy as we possibly can for them. I believe we honor our parents, listen to me, by the life that we live. I believe we honor our parents by the loads that we lift. Let me say lastly and very, very importantly, I believe we honor our parents by the love that we lavish on them. By the love that we lavish on them. I'll never forget that about 32 years ago, I came home one day from work and Debbie had been to the doctor and she said, guess what? Well, I knew what. We was going to have our first child. I was so excited I had to take classes, learn how to breathe all over again. Y'all take those classes, amen? I'll never forget the day in the hospital we had our first son was born. When the doctor delivered that little boy, I looked at that little boy and I thought, what a miracle of God. I was so excited. We named him Joshua. I remember we took him home. We had a nursery fixed up. Every night, I'd go in and I'd pick that little boy up out of that crib and I'd put him on my shoulder and I'd sit down in a rocking chair. And I'd rock him forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and I'd lavish love all over that little boy. I remember I'd pray and I'd say, God, I'd be willing to die for this little boy. I love him so much. You moms and dads, you know what I'm talking about. But I thought to myself, how much more should we lavish that same kind of love back toward a precious mom and a precious dad? I'll never forget in 1983, I was living in Kingsport, Tennessee. I got a phone call that I never expected to get, you never want to get. On the other end of the phone, they let me know that my dad had just passed away. You never expect a call like that. I remember I went back on the back deck of my house and I sat down on the steps and I began to cry. I began to think back some of the times I'd had with my dad. I remember when I was a teenager that my dad would get my brother, who's a couple years older than I am, in the summertime, and he'd get us to go down in the field on the farm that we lived in. He'd get us to dig post holes. He said, I want post holes dug all the way around this field here. We had that kind of has two handles. We didn't have the kind on the back of a tractor. You know what I mean? And if the ground was hard, we had a metal bar and we had water. We'd pour in the hole. We'd go down there early in the morning and start digging post holes. About 2 hours later, I would see my dad coming down through the field with a folding chair under his arm. He would come down to where we're digging those holes and he would unfold that chair and turn around backwards and he would tell us how to dig those holes. I used to hate that. You know what, friends? I see my dad come to that back door tonight in the church, the folding chair in his arm, come down this aisle and fold it and turn it around right there and put it backwards and sit down right there and say, preach, son, preach, I'm proud. If I could just see him one more time, that'd be so great. My dad used to take me to a little place called Jack's Place. We get an RC Cola. We get a hot dog, chili beans. We go down to the barn. And we'd do something my dad would call stump setting. I was just a little tiny fella. I just took a little tiny stump. My dad weighed over 300 pounds. He took a grand big old stump. He would sit down on that stump. And he would talk to me. You say, preacher, it sounds like you had a pretty good dad. I believe I did. But I didn't have a perfect dad. My dad was a drunkard most of his life. I can remember when I was a little boy. My dad got in a fight with my older brother. 14 years older than me, threw him out of a second-story window and almost killed him. When I was 13 years old, I went up to Blacksburg, Virginia to see a Virginia Tech football game and I visit my older brother who was a senior in college. I saw him that day on that Saturday. I told him goodbye and I went home that night. My dad was out drinking that night. He was drunk somewhere. About 2 o'clock in the middle of the night, the phone rang. I heard my mom scream. Because they let her know on the other end of the phone that my brother just got killed in a car accident. Dr. Jerry Falwell went out and that night and found my dad. Witnessed to him and led him to the Lord. My dad got saved. You know what? I saw a change in my dad. You know when somebody gets saved, you ought to see a change. Amen? And I saw a change in my dad. And I was blessed to see a few years and spend a few years with my dad after he got saved. Oh, my dad wasn't a perfect dad. My mom wasn't a perfect mom. I believe the only people that can expect perfect parents are perfect children. I don't believe there are any here tonight. My dad left my mom living by herself. She moved to Richmond, Virginia. Got a little apartment there to be near two of my sisters there. I remember a little later on, I was going to be near Richmond, Virginia, preaching revival meeting. And I thought I'd stop by and see mom and bless her. Say, preacher, what do you mean by that? I mean, I was going to stop by and eat with her. Amen. Really bless me. Because I knew if I told mom I was going to stop by and see her, she'd fix me fried chicken. She'd fix me mashed potatoes. Not that fake kind, but the real kind. Amen. She'd fix me one of my favorite desserts, pecan pie with a big old slice of pecan pie with a big scoop of vanilla ice cream. They eat like that out here. Amen. And I went there that night and she fixed me a wonderful, wonderful meal. And I thought as I sat there that night, I thought, how can I lavish some love on my mom? How can I show her just how much I love her? I looked at my mom. I said, Mom, listen, I'm preaching a revival meeting about an hour from here. And why don't you go with me to this revival meeting? You can spend the night in the motel with me and you can go to the meetings with me. We'll just have a great time. And I thought it'd be a great time for me to spend with my mother and just lavish some love on her. She said, oh, I'd love to go. I said, well, Mom, you can go on one condition. She said, well, what's that? I said, well, you got to promise me something if you go. She said, well, what do I have to promise you? I said, well, if the preacher asks you to say anything, you need to promise me that you won't call me Sammy and I'll let you go. She said, I promise I won't do that. Sunday night, had a great service on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night. I preached after the service. The pastor recognized my mom sitting right over here. Said, Miss Wood, it's so good to have you here tonight. If you'd like to say something, she stood up and she looked around everybody. She said, I just want to let you know I'm so proud of Sammy. And I just shook my head. A few years later, she turned 80 years old. We had planned a special 80th birthday for her. All the family was going to come, 20-some grandchildren, great-grandchildren, celebrate her 80th birthday. Something came up in my schedule where I was going to be a conflict in me preaching somewhere, and I didn't get to go. I lived in North Carolina at that time, and I remember in Charlotte, we got our station wagon, got my four boys, and we got on Interstate 95, went north up to Richmond, Virginia, to spend a few days with my mom and just lavish some love on her for her 80th birthday. I remember that week, we went up there for several days, and we took her out to eat, and we did some different places, went some different places with her, and we just tried to show her how much we loved her. The time came, as it always does, when you have to leave. I remember my wife went up and hugged my mom around the neck and told her she loved her, went out and sat in the car. My four boys went up to their grandmother and hugged her around the neck and told grandma how much they loved her. They went out and sat in the car. I was left standing in that little foyer with my mom that day all by myself. And I knew mom was going to do something. She always does when I leave, but I usually prepared myself for it pretty well. You say, preacher, what's that? I knew she was going to cry. She always cried when I left. That day was no exception. She began to cry. Friends, I want to tell you, when she began to cry, the Holy Spirit of God just began to convict me, and God began to say, I want to tell you, that's a precious little lady right there. I said, you're right, God. She's such a precious lady. And God reminded me how I was a little boy. My brothers and sisters, eight of us. My dad would be out drinking. My mom would get up on Sunday morning. She'd get us all ready for church. And she'd walk us across town to church to make sure we was in the house of God. And she'd get up really early to fix lunch because my dad demanded that lunch be on the table. Even though he didn't go to church, he demanded it be on the table when we got back home. Oh, I thought about those times when Mama did that. I thought about the time when my brother told me that he remembered a preacher visiting our home when I was not even born. He said that preacher tried to get Mama to leave Daddy. He said, Sam, I remember I was behind in the back room when I was listening to this conversation. I remember her mom saying, listen, I'm not going to let our family be torn apart. I'm trusting God that He's going to work this out in our home. My brother told me, I thought to myself, if she left Daddy, I wouldn't even be here. Oh, I thought all these different thoughts about my mom who was standing that for you that day and she was crying. When she cried, I began to cry. She put her arms around my neck. I put my arms around her neck. I cried on her shoulder and she cried on my shoulder. She whispered something in my ear that day that I'll always cherish and I'll never forget. She said, Sammy, she said, I know how much you love me. I thought, praise God. She said, I know how much you love me. I want to ask you tonight, does your mom and dad know how much you love them? Have you lavished so much love on them that they know how much you love them? It doesn't take a whole lot of time to pick up the phone and make a phone call and tell your mom and dad how special they are to you. It doesn't take a whole lot of time to write out a little card, a little letter, bring back some memory you had with mom and dad and send it to them in the mail. Friends, listen, they'll read it. They won't throw it in the trash. You'll put it in the refrigerator with a magnet so they can read it day after day after day. Amen. There's an old saying, dead noses smell no roses. There's a lot of us here today. My mom and dad have both passed away. They're both in heaven. I thank God that one day I will see them again. But there's many of us here today who have a mom or dad has passed away, and you would love to have one more chance just to say, Mom and Dad, I just want to let you know how much I love you, and I want to hug you around the neck and know you, let you know how special that you are to me. Oh, if I had time tonight, I could go back to the Old Testament. I could talk about how a son or daughter who was rebellious toward their parents, and they wouldn't repent of it. They would take them to the gates of the city, and they would stone them to death. That's how serious what I'm talking about here tonight is to God. If most Americans lived the way they live today and lived back in that day, I believe the majority of Americans wouldn't see another sunrise because of dishonoring their parents. Friends, you honor your parents by the life that you live. You honor your parents by the loads that you lift. You honor your parents by the love that you're lavishing on them.